This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news of issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, you might remember that at the end of last year, we heard about controversial plans for Broadwater Lake, one of a series of old gravel pits that have become beautiful lakes down in the Colne Valley. Now, Broadwater is the largest of the lakes, a SSSI, and partly managed by the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust. It's a crucial sanctuary for waterbirds in a very busy landscape, and the SSSI status indicates that it's of national importance for wildlife. Now, the problem has arisen because Harefield No. 2 Lake, which was the home to Hillingdon Outdoor Activity Centre, or HOAC, has been taken over to enable the construction of HS2. HOAC is a youth educational charity providing outdoor and environmental education for the whole community, but with priority given to young people and those who are disadvantaged or disabled. But sadly, HOAC has now been rendered homeless. However, HS2 is compelled to fund relocation to an alternative site which is suitable for HOAC's needs. And the site that they have chosen is Broadwater Lake. Now, a planning application has been made by Hillingdon Council for a new water sports and activities centre at Broadwater Lake, featuring buildings and infrastructure on a previously undisturbed wooded peninsula, designed to enable a whole suite of water and land-based recreational activities, things like canoeing, pedal go-karting, high ropes and zip wires. So, at the end of last year, Chloe Edwards, the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust Director of Nature Recovery, spoke to us here on Environment Matters, and she explained why the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust would be opposing Hillingdon Council's plans. The Wildlife Trust made their objections, and matters are now moving on. Hillingdon Council have now informed the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust that the application for planning permission to build the new outdoor centre, if recommended for approval, is expected to be considered by the Planning Committee on the 14th of March. So let's hear once again from Chloe to take us up to date.
Thanks for having me here to give a little bit of an update on what's happening with Broadwater Lake at the moment. So we spent a lot of time going through all of the documents associated with the planning application and all of the assessments that had been made. And we concluded that the proposed development at Broadwater Lake would cause significant harm to biodiversity, and it would have an adverse effect on the SSSI. So that's the site of special scientific interest, which Broadwater Lake is a part of. And those impacts were from both the construction of this scheme, but also its operational use. So all of those proposed activities taking place on this site. And the impacts were going to be on breeding birds, on molting birds, on overwintering birds. But also we identified that there were going to be impacts on bats and European eels, and also likely significant impacts on the water quality at the lake as well. And we weren't alone in our objections. So we know that around 1,200 objections were received by Hillingdon Council. And that included objections from local residents, local community groups, conservation organisations like ourselves. So we obviously objected. London Wildlife Trust and the RSPB also put in similar objections, identifying similar points to ours. The Colne Valley Regional Park objected. And we really welcomed seeing that the statutory bodies, so this is Natural England and the Environment Agency, put in very strong objections to the proposed development. And that's really important because they are really influential in the decision-making process.
And what kind of things did they say? Because actually they had two quite different objections as well, didn't they?
Yeah, so Natural England's objections were around the SSSI, the Site of Special Scientific Interest, and the features that that's notified for. This is thinking about particularly the bird populations that this site is really important for. So they were very concerned about the loss of suitable habitat for those bird populations, and also the disturbance that would be going on that site during the construction and the operational phases of this scheme as well. So they concluded that this proposed scheme would actually damage or destroy those interest features, which is pretty strong. That means it's going to have an absolutely massive impact on this site and everything that depends on it.
And how about the Environment Agency? Because they had a slightly different point of view, didn't they?
Yeah, so the Environment Agency were assessing the application based around a lot of water-related elements, because that's their remit. And so they actually made four objections to the scheme. One of those was around the flood risk associated with the development. They didn't think that had been assessed adequately. They also thought there needs to be more consideration as to pollution that may result from this scheme, so that disturbance in the lake and how that interacts with the wider environment. They thought the scheme would have a kind of unacceptable impact on the water bodies here generally. And then they were also concerned that protected or priority species hadn't really been adequately assessed or the impacts addressed satisfactorily. So that was quite a wide-ranging response from the EA, but largely related to the water environment.
Okay, so the 14th of March, can you take us through what's happening then?
Yeah, so we're kind of in this limbo period at the minute. So the official consultation has closed, and we know that the planning officers at Hillingdon Council will now be considering all of that information that's come in through that consultation. We obviously don't know what the planning officers are going to recommend, but we understand that this will be considered at the planning committee, which is happening in mid-March, which you just mentioned. And we obviously don't know what the planning committee are going to decide either. But we have got a real worry that despite having received all those objections, so 1,200 objections is really huge for a planning application. And despite being objections from, you know, the government's own environmental advisors, Natural England and the Environment Agency, we are still really worried that Hillingdon Council's planning committee could still approve this development. They've invested a lot of money in the proposal, and to date, they've been really dismissive of the existing value of that site for nature. And it is a scenario we see across the country where councils are making decisions that are not in the best interests of the natural environment. So it's a big concern.
Indeed. We should acknowledge it must be a very difficult situation for them because, of course, the facility that they're applying for planning permission for is much needed, isn't it, and has been displaced from another lake. So on the 14th of March, do you think this is likely to be the end of the issue, or actually do you think this is actually more likely to be the start of something considerably longer?
Yeah, it's really hard to know because we just don't know what's going to be recommended and what ultimately the planning committee's decision will be. But obviously, if it is suggested that this development goes ahead, despite all of the objections and the evidence to the contrary, it will be undermining, you know, the protections that we've got in place around the country. And it could mean that a load of other protected sites are then at risk from activities in the future too. And this would be a really dangerous precedent. So obviously, if it does get approved, we won't be leaving it there. There are processes which can be instigated to further scrutinise the council's decision-making process on this, should they approve it, which we would be supporting. But if it does go ahead, we just have to remember this would damage and destroy one of our core sites for nature. It's one of the best sites for wildlife nationally. Supposed to be legally protected, and you know, it's of landscape importance in the Colne Valley. It's really rare for a water body of this size in this very busy part of the UK to still persist as this incredible safe haven for wildlife, and it's really not acceptable that this development was ever considered here. We're all very aware that we're in the midst of this nature and climate crisis. We're in a nature depleted country, and we can't start to accept that eroding those foundations of our nature recovery network is going to be okay. So it certainly won't be the end here. yeah, we're just asking people to keep an eye on this, really. It's, as I say, a bit of an unknown place that we're in at the moment. But as soon as we've got more information on what's being proposed decision-wise, we will be updating people.
Okay. And of course, we can look out for information on your website and on social media. And is there anything you need us to do in the meantime?
So just because the official kind of consultation window has closed, we don't want everything to go silent around Broadwater Lake, because this is a massive threat locally and nationally. So we'd still urge you, if you live locally, you can get in touch with your council representatives, particularly those that may be involved in the planning committee, and raise awareness of concerns about this proposal and the impact. But wherever you live, you can still talk for wildlife. You know, we know it can't speak up for itself, so that's what we're here to do. So reaching out to elected representatives, whether that be councillors or your local MP, and sharing the details around this case is really important, because it is nationally relevant. And also, it's going to highlight that nature really matters to you, and it will influence how you vote later this year.
And just to finish, can you just tell us a little bit about what's going on down at Broadwater Lake at the moment? What's wildlife up to? Just bring it to life for us.
Yes, at Broadwater, it'll really be gearing up now for all that spring activity. So we know birds, it's been quite warm, hasn't it, in February. So we know birds will be starting to nest, which is really important, particularly the heronry down there. But all the other birds that we see at Broadwater will be starting to think about breeding. So we also have all of those migratory birds, so all of our warblers that come on those incredible migrations here, and we'll use Broadwater as a stopover, or may even decide to stay there because it's so lovely. Bats will be waking up from hibernation with our warmer temperatures as they come, and the longer days, and they'll start to be using the site to forage and roost in. We'll start to see, obviously, lots of insect life, which will be supporting those bat populations as well. And it will just really be starting at this point to come alive even more as all of the vegetation starts to come to life, and everything's waking up and starting for that incredible period that we're going to have with new life of all of the birds that will be taking refuge there and wanting to feel safe as they try and rear their young this year.
Indeed. I imagine it's quite an exciting place at the moment. And of course, go and take a look at it. I think that's important, isn't it? It's a great nature reserve to go and visit and see all of this happening for yourself. Chloe, thank you so much for telling us about that. And we look forward to hearing how it goes on the 14th of March. And I'll make sure to keep you updated here on Environment Matters. And talking about keeping you up to date, here's Helen Nistala from Common Joy, a volunteer group that uses creative nature-based activities supporting well-being, community and care for our shared earth. And she wants to tell you about the Spring Joy workshop that she's running on Saturday the 16th of March between 2 and 5 at the Highfield Oval in Harpenden. And here's Helen to tell us more about it.
Spring Joy Workshop is going to be an opportunity to really kind of celebrate the joys of spring, the signs of spring that we're noticing nature around us, by creating either a wall hanging or a garland that captures the things that we love about spring, whether that's, you know, the return of the birds or new flowers or the buds and the leaves. And all of our creative workshops are designed to be as environmentally friendly and as nature friendly as possible. So we use materials that we've either grown ourselves. So we're making lots of use of dried flowers, apple wood from the orchard where we're based, that we've gathered during the winter. And we also upcycle lots of materials as well. So we'll be using, you know, upcycled vintage cotton, upcycled paper, and finding ways to turn these things that ordinarily we might just throw in the bin or recycle, to turn them into something beautiful. There'll be lots of different ways of making the wall hanging and garlands, so everybody can feel at ease with the process. And that's something that I'm really passionate about, is that everybody can be creative, everybody can make lovely things. And because of the nature of the materials that we're working with, in any case, you know, the beautiful flowers and products will be gorgeous. So absolutely no need for any kind of special skill. It's adults and adults who, if they'd like to bring their children along, that's absolutely great too. Because of the nature of what we're doing, we are saying that we'd like children to be accompanied by a parent or carer, but all welcome otherwise. So all of the activities that I run are grounded in supporting the concept of nature connectedness, which is a special way of relating to nature that is especially good for our well-being and also makes us more likely to do things on behalf of the environment. We have a strong connection to nature. We really feel ourselves to be part of the natural world. We notice it, we seek it out, and we are happy when we're in it. And there's certain types of activities and ways of relating to nature that really build our sense of nature connectedness. So I really try to make sure that all our activities, whether creative or, you know, out in the natural world, that they all support and build that sense of deep connection with nature. All of the ticket price will actually be going towards a food parcel scheme in the West Bank of Palestine. So rather than asking people to buy a ticket in a conventional sense, we are asking them to donate the money directly to that scheme, because that's really part of our ethos of Common Joy, is that not only do we want to benefit people here by supporting their connection with nature and in their enjoyment of creativity, but we also want to be able to kind of get alongside and work in partnership with other volunteer-led organisations trying to make a positive difference in other parts of the world.
Thank you, Helen. And if you'd like to book your place on the Spring Joy Workshop, then email helen@commonjoy.org.uk and do look out for Common Joy on Facebook and on Instagram for more about that nature connectedness that Helen was talking about. And I'll make sure that all the links from today's show go into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.